Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Fine, thank you. Let's try that for, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
You learn fast. Good to see you. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. Great passage of scripture that I believe God can use to encourage us this morning. Part of this scripture is one that God did something different for me. Oh, probably 15 years ago, I suspect, when we had slept the night through and rested very, very well and swung out of bed, put my feet on the floor. And when I did, a tune came to my mind. I do not know whether I've ever heard the tune or sung the tune before. To this day, 15 years later, I've asked my wife, I've asked my children, did we sing this in our travels? We had tapes that we would play that would be scripture songs that you would sing. And that's what happened with that day. I took one of these passages of scripture in Psalm 37 and it became a song that I taught the church in New Mexico to sing. And so this is going to be principally the passage we're looking at today. It's Psalm 37. Look, if you would, at verse 23. Let's stand together. We're going to read it. And then I'm going to try to teach you how to sing it for a little bit, okay? So Psalm 37, 23. Here's what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, that good man, delighteth in his, God's way. Though he fall, though the good man fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him, the good man, in his hand. Now, you may be seated. I'm going to try to teach it to you. Look at your book there. And here's what I sung sitting on the bed that day. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Would you try it with me? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Let's talk to the Lord in prayer. Father, we sure do need you. We're grateful that you are present in this assembly of saints. And God, we're grateful that you live in the body of every single person in this room who has received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And God, we're so thankful that you do not live in us as an observer. You do not live in us as a critic. But God, you live in us for the purpose of helping us in our special times of need. We're so grateful that Jesus loved us, that he died for our sins, that he was buried and resurrected, that he is alive this very moment, sitting at thy right hand. God, in this assembly of saints, we're asking you to rebuke Satan, every devil spirit of hell that would interrupt our thoughts, interrupt our listening to the Holy Spirit deal with us. And God, would you teach us today those things that we need to apply to our life so we can become like Jesus Christ. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 37. Did you hear those words? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you look back through this 37th Psalm, you're going to find a lot of references not to a good man. Look at verse 1, evildoers, works of iniquity. Look, if you would, at verse 9, evildoers. Verse 10, wicked. Verse 12, wicked. Verse 14, wicked. There are so many references here to those who are not what God would have them to be. They can just simply be wicked. But here's the key. That's not God's plan for your life. Listen to the word of the Lord. Listen to God. God is not willing that any should perish. Now look at me a minute. Do you know what that's saying? God is not willing that any person go to hell. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. First thing I want you to think about today is this, that God wants every single person in this room in His heaven. God wants you there.
Amen.
He wants you there so desperately that He gave His Son to die for you. Listen, Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Christ died for our sin. Think of your own personal sin a minute. I don't have to think long to come up with my sin. One of the sins that I wrestle with almost every day is pride. Sometimes it's just the evil that I do is just allowing Satan to accuse me and make me feel guilty when God has washed away my sins. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all our sins. First thing I want you to remember today is that God wants you in His heaven. Secondly, Jesus Christ died so you could go to heaven. Third, listen to this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now listen, God hath given to us eternal life. May I change one word? God hath gifted to us eternal life. Eternal life is a gift bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See? Listen again. Let's just back up to where I started. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Listen. He that hath the Son hath life. If you have Jesus Christ living in you, you have eternal life. But if you do not have Jesus Christ living in you, you do not have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Amen.
But listen to this next statement. This is so important. 1 John 5, 13. God says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life, and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Did you understand that? Listen, God says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. If you are here in this room and you do not know that you have eternal life, my friend, that is not what God wills for you. God's will for you is that you know you have eternal life right now.
Amen.
And here's the reason. Not long ago, I was visiting the hospitals. Visited a lady. Asked her about her salvation. And she says, I'm working on that. I'm trying to get it. But it's so easy. To get eternal salvation, to get eternal life, all we have to do is receive Jesus Christ. We receive Him into our life, and that moment He gives us eternal life is a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's God's will for your life. But here's the next thing. In this room, dozens of people that know they're saved, know they're going to heaven, know and have that peace of God which passeth understanding, keeping their heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But good people fall. Look at that text that we read. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, the good man, delighteth in his way, God's way. But look, verse 24, though the good man fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Class, look at me. Saved people, people that have received Jesus Christ into their life, are capable of sin. I think of a fellow by the name of Moses. God sent him to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He got them out. They ran out of water. And God said, you take your rod that you have in your hand and you strike this rock. And he struck the rock and water gushed out. And millions of people, 3 million people probably drank of that running water. They journeyed through the desert, came back to the same place, and they were out of water. They began to murmur against Moses. And God said to him, Moses, speak to the rock. First time he said, what? Strike the rock. Second time he says, speak to the rock. But do you know what happened to that good man that was leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? He got angry. And instead of speaking to the rock and saying, rock, give water. Been that simple. And the water would have come out. Do you know what he did? He took his rod. And he struck it again. And God said to him, you cannot go into Canaan land. And he was excluded from the group that went into Canaan land because he got angry and struck the rock the second time. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is our rock. And he died for our sins according to Scripture. He was struck one time. And that's all that is necessary. He died for sin once. And the gift for every human being was paid. Their sin price was paid by Jesus' death on the cross when they nailed the spikes into his hand, into his feet, when they crowned him with the crown of thorns, when they took the spear and thrust it into his side. My friend, his death, his shed blood was sufficient for the sins of the whole world. But when Moses struck the rock the second time, he was breaking God's message that Christ died for sins once. Once. Amen. And his striking the rock the second time, striking the rock the second time, was a picture of Christ dying twice. He died once, and his death was sufficient forever. Amen. Moses struck the rock. Anger. Good man. He fell. But remember, the steps of good men are ordered by the Lord, and he, the good man, delighteth in God's way. And though he fall, listen, he may fail. He may do wrong. Though he fail, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Listen. you may have a fresh memory of sin. But my friend, though you've sinned, you shall not utterly be cast down. You're not going to be cast away from God if you have received Christ as your Savior. Your sins are blotted out. I know, all of them. All of them. Past, present, future, known and unknown, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Entrance to heaven, guaranteed. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, the good man, delighteth in God's way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. David, King David, as a lad, youngest, apparently, of Jesse's children, his sons, out herding sheep, called away from the herd, and is anointed with oil as the next king. And from that point on, when he's anointed to be the next king, he begins to do the work of a king. Saul wears the crown. Saul has the robes. Saul has the title. But David does the work of a king. He finally is crowned the king. His army goes out to war. And David stays home. And in the evening time, late in the evening, he's been taking a long nap, apparently. He crawls out of bed and he goes up on the top of his roof and he looks across the way, and here was Bathsheba bathing, unclothed. He saw her. Here is a good man who lusted after her. He called for her, committed adultery with her. She conceived child of the king. And he wound up killing her husband, trying to hide his sin. But he was not utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Class, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and that good man delighteth in God's way. And though he fall, though Moses fall, though King David fall, they shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You could think of so many different good men in Scripture who have fallen. But the key is this: though they fall, they shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth them with his hand. I want to quote to you another passage, and then we're going to get back and look some further at this passage and this thought. But I want you to hear the words of Jesus. John chapter 10, listen to verse 10, middle of the verse. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Look at verse 27, same verse, same chapter. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." I want to repeat what I said earlier. God gives us eternal life as a gift. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Amen. Brother Faulkner, raise your hand. That hand you've got in the air, let's say for the moment that that is Jesus' hand. And let's say for the moment that this is Mr. Faulkner. Okay? That's the hand of Jesus. Mrs. Faulkner, would you raise your left hand? Let's say for a moment that that hand is the hand of God the Father. Okay, listen. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Listen, I'm going to translate that for you with my rough translation, not translating literally, but illustrating. He says, they shall never perish. A person who has received Jesus Christ into their life, they could not go to hell if they wanted to.
Right.
And here's the reason. Because when they received Christ, take your pen and put it in your hand a minute. There you go, that works. Okay, look, when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were in His hand. No man can pluck you out of His hand. He said that. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know that they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Nobody can pluck John out of God's hand because he's in the hand of Jesus.
Amen.
But he goes on again. He goes one step further. Listen to him. He said, "My Father is greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand." Mrs. Faulkner, take your hand and grab hold of that pen that he has in his hand. There you go. So John Faulkner is in the hand of God the Father, and John Faulkner is in the hand of Jesus Christ. And my friend, you, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in the hand of Jesus Christ, and you're in the hand of God the Father, and nobody can pluck you out of the hands. You are sure, saved, secure, in the hand of Jesus and in the hand of God the Father, and that safety, that shelter, that's protection, that's provision, everything you need is in Christ. But let's go back. Look at Psalm 37 again. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." We've illustrated it. But my friend, listen. Every one of us have three enemies. If you would, turn to the book of 1 John chapter 2, if you would, please. Right in front of Revelation, the short book of 1 John, Roman numeral 1, John. Look at chapter 2, rather. Verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But listen to this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Look back at verse 16. You have three enemies. Enemy number one, the world. Love not the world. All that is in the world, here's what is in the world. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is the desire to do. One of the reasons that we have our problems with overeating is because the lust of the flesh is controlling us. And we overeat because of that desire to do. The appetites of our body, the lust of the flesh, the desire to do. Look at the next one. And the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes is the desire to have. Do you know why new cars have so many different new colors? Because it's attractive to your eye. And you see, man, did you see that Corvette? Did you see the color? I've never seen that color Corvette before. Man, I just sure would love to have one of those. Lust of the eye. Lust of the eye. Look at the next one. The pride of life. The pride of life is the desire to be. That desire to be the first one drafted into the NFL. I want to be number one. I want to be the governor. I want to be the president. I want to be. It's that desire to be. And you and I, though we are saved, though Christ lives in us, we have that battle that goes on. Look at God's word again, verse 15, 1 John 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. My friend, we need to remember that something that's so important. If you would probably turn back one page. If you're at 1 John chapter 2, turn back one page. I think that's going to take care of it. Look at verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. That's God's will for our lives. His will is that we not sin. And if any man sin, it's not God's will that we sin. One of our ladies led a fella to the Lord in a nursing home a few months ago. She asked me to go and talk with him and be sure that he had it settled, that she had not missed something. I went by, checked him out, and he had it settled. He knew that he had prayed and received Christ as his Savior. But the next time I saw him, he says, though I'm saved, he said, can I sin? I said, you sure can. In fact, you will sin. He said, it's not going to make me lose my salvation if I sin. Listen to what God says here. He says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. It's not my will for you to sin, but if any man sins, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer that stands before God's throne in heaven. And when you and I sin, our advocate stands up. His name, an advocate with the Father. What is the name of our advocate? Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. My friend, he settles the legal debt with our sins. Amen. And that's the first thing of propitiation. But he settles another side of it. And that's our conscience. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Look. The propitiation takes care of the legal debt that our sins put into our life. We're legally responsible for those sins, except that Christ has already settled the debt. He paid the debt. We're free from the penalty of sin. But he not only paid that legal debt, he will clear our conscience. Our conscience accuses us. I thought you were saved, my conscience will say. Why in the world did you have that angry attitude to your wife? Whew. What do you do about it? Number one, I have to go to her and say, honey, I was wrong. I know I don't deserve your forgiveness, but I need it. Will you please forgive me? And thanks be unto God. I can go and say, God, I'm so thankful that Christ Jesus died for my sins, and legally he has settled that debt. Amen. But he died for my sins, and God, he has cleansed my conscience. When I apply the blood of Jesus to my conscience, evil conscience is settled. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ. We have an advocate. You're very close to 1 Peter right there. Turn, if you would, back a few pages to the left to the book of 1 Peter, Roman numeral number 1, Peter. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Class, you may be a good man that has fallen, but God wants you to bring your cares and cast them upon him. And to cast them means that you transfer control out of your hands into his hands. Casting all your care upon him, he careth you. Listen, be sober. Be sober-minded is what he's saying. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Be alert. Why? Because your adversary, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. But we have an adversary, the devil. As a roaring lion, the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Just because he's walking about seeking to devour you, my friend, it gives him no right to do it. Amen. And God says, here's what you do about the devil. You resist him steadfast in faith. You in faith take God at his word. And God says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, the God of heaven has called you to an eternal glory in heaven by Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ, and that after you've suffered a while, he will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him, to the God of all grace, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an adversary that works when we fall. And my friend, until you and I obey God and confess our sin to him, you resist the devil, but you confess your sin. If we confess our sin, if we go to God and to God alone, we say to him, I was wrong. I sinned. I lied. My language was wrong. If we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, He, God the Father, is faithful and just. Faithful, the word just has the idea of being legally satisfying. He has the legal right to do it. We confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. All of them, past, present, future, known and unknown. Cleanse us of our sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen. Have you ever honestly, sincerely, from the depths of your heart, confessed your sin to God and said, God, I was wrong, here's what I did, and you tell Him. And then you tell Him, God, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is your Son, that He died to pay for my sins, that He was buried and resurrected, and that He gives eternal life as a gift. God, I believe that. Lord Jesus, I believe You died for my sins, and I'm trusting You to take me to heaven when I die. I'm trusting You to forgive my sin and cleanse me. If you've never done that, would you do it today? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Would you just simply say, God, I need Your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I'm trusting Him as my Savior. I'm trusting Him to take me to heaven when I die. If you've never prayed that sin or prayed that prayer, confessing your sin, would you do it today? Listen, you can pray these words back to God. Don't just say the words, but you pray these words back to God. God, I confess I've sinned against You. God, I confess I deserve to go to hell. God, I confess that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Lord Jesus, I open my heart and trust You as my Savior. Please come into my life. Forgive my sins. I'm trusting You to take me to heaven when I die. If you've never prayed that sin before, or that prayer, excuse me, before today, but you prayed it honestly and sincerely today, would you raise your hand and hold it up high just a moment?